the scripture for today is coming out of Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. You guys can be seated. Now, if you've grown up in the church, this passage may have some meaning to you. I played soccer in high school. I've coached a little bit. And I've probably watched more as a fan than anything. And there's, when you play soccer, there's something that you don't want. You don't want this. Y'all know what this is? This is a red card. Shockingly, I've never gotten one of these. Have I, TD? I don't think I have. I've never gotten one of these. It's usually given like this. I think we've got a picture up there. You know, let everybody know you're done. Now, when some of us hear this passage, and if you've ever played soccer before, you know you're in trouble when he goes to the pocket, right? Beep, that's fine, whatever. But he goes to the pocket, you're in trouble. Some of us hear this passage and we think, oh, man, I'm in trouble. You know? But there's another kind of red envelope for those who are from Asia, know, in the Chinese New Year. Do y'all know what you get with a red envelope? Money. And so some of us, when we see this passage, we're like, oh, okay. There's some reward here. There's an opportunity here. And there's a gift here. And I think no matter where you are on the spectrum, maybe you're new this morning, you've never even heard this passage. You're like, okay, this is exciting. What could this be? I want us to say, hey, what is Jesus inviting us into? Whether maybe you've seen this as a I'm in trouble, or, you know, maybe put that down this morning and let's just examine what the scriptures say. Now, when I was younger, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't even have caller ID. So we just, the phone rang and you picked it up. Praise God for caller ID, right? I mean, I don't answer anybody's phone call unless I know who it is. And even then, just leave me a message, right? I mean, what do you want exactly? And I think the Lord is calling this morning. And the good news is we have the transcript of his voicemail. We can kind of read through it to see if figure out if we're going to call him back today. So when we look at this morning, here's my main point in this passage. Jesus invites everyone. Can you say everyone? To answer the call to participate in a relational, life-transforming, history-shaping mission to change the world called making disciples. We'll read that again. That's a mouthful. Jesus invites everyone to answer the call to participate in a relational, life-transforming, history-shaping mission to change the world called making disciples. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated Easter. We talked about how the resurrection changes everything. It changes how we view God. It changes how we view ourselves. It changes how we live. And it changes our hope for the future. It gives us certainty. Now, this morning, I want to kind of answer the question, now what? Now that Jesus is raised from the dead, what do we do? In fact, we've got 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead. He's at this mountain. And he invites the disciples. Hey, come here. Meet me here. And he gives them this charge. We're going to look at Number one, God's new mission, God's new missional dispensation is here. And this is, something changes. Jesus says something here that's interesting. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go, make disciples. All authority. Basically, he's saying this. All authority in the spiritual realm. All authority on earth. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you go, make disciples. And this is what he was saying. I am now the divine king of all the universe. In the physical and in the spiritual. And a new dispensation has arrived. Because I've risen from the dead, and I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father, I've got some authority. I'm in charge. I'm a new king. I'm not just a suffering servant. I didn't just die for your sins. But a new dispensation is here, a new administration. The world is under new management. Y'all have seen that? Y'all have been to a bad restaurant, and then it says, hey, under new management? I might check that out. So when I was, I graduated, I think it was the summer, maybe I'd graduated college. It was the summertime. My brother was gracious enough to live with him that summer, and he was getting ready to get married. And so we were only there for a short amount of time. But then he got married, and we grew up and we were, you know, neat-ish people. You know, we're not real dirty. We're not real, you know, we're like, it was a bachelor pad, you know. But it wasn't gross. It was tidy. And so, but something happened when he got married is like the apartment didn't look the same. We would come to visit and be like, this is not the apartment I lived in. There's actually frames on the wall, you know. I don't have to go like this to look around. There's lighting, right? There was a new administration that had come into his life. And it was producing some good things. Now, immediately there was a change, right? And then progressively, it got better as the income started coming in, right? As the collaborations, as he began to recognize who was in charge of this abode, it started getting gradually, to this day, it's gradually getting better. It gets bigger. He bought a house. That gets nicer. The yard's looking, man, TD. This is great. What happened? A new administration is here. It's under new management, right? Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And he was, at first, it was like, what's going on, right? But then he's like, oh, I kind of like this, right? I am basking in the grace of this new administration, and it's awesome, right? Amen. So this is what's happening here. When Jesus dies on the cross and he rises from the dead, things are changing in history, and then we're invited into that. Now, we learned last week, and we've been talking about this, when Jesus was on the cross, and I just want to mention three things that this new administration helps for us and applies for us here this morning. The first is that in the Old Testament, the way God would typically work throughout human history is he would raise up maybe one individual, maybe a king, maybe a prophet, maybe even there was this one time where the Spirit of God came on some artists to create the tabernacle, right? And so there would be these individuals that had this special grace of the Spirit. The Spirit would come on them and they'd do a task. And then we got to kind of read about it and learn from them. But now in Christ, that anointing, that grace to walk with God has been given to all men. And when Jesus said on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished, it was a legal term to say, hey, your debt has been canceled, your shame has been wiped away, and you've been invited into this new administration where your sins are not counted against you. So that's one part of this new administration. We don't have to carry our sins in with us anymore. We don't have to offer sacrifices to God because the sacrifice has already been given. The second thing that was neat on the cross is that when Jesus died, the Bible says that the veil in the temple was torn. And there's this place in the tabernacle in the temple where one priest once a year could go to make a sacrifice for the sin of the people. And that was it. But when Jesus died on the cross, this new administration, he now is giving access to himself by the Spirit of God to all humanity. You now can have access to God. Not one person on a special occasion, only for a limited amount of time, but now you and I get access to God every day, every second, every minute, because the veil is torn. Our debt is paid. We had a real debt. Our guilt was real. He paid for that real, and now we have access. A new administration is here. God is inviting us into this new administration. And finally, when the resurrection, we covered this last week, when the resurrection happened, now we don't just, in the Old Testament, we kind of look to the future and we're like, yeah, God's going to do something and it's going to be cool and we're hopeful for it. But in the resurrection, now we know he's done it and he's going to rise. He rose again and we will rise and we have a certain hope. So there's this confidence now that comes with walking with Jesus. We're under this new administration, a new dispensation. You and I are invited into that this morning. Now, the second thing we see is that God's missional desire is relationship. And this is important because when some of us hear this passage, go make disciples, we feel some weight. We might even feel this like kick in the pants, you know? But what we miss is that God is inviting us into something. The disciples, it says here, there were 12. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. And this is interesting because only God could be worshiped. And these were good Jews. They knew that. But Jesus had risen from the dead and he had been saying the whole time, I am him. And then they worshiped him. And it was a relationship. And we see this from the beginning. We see it from the creation that God created Adam and Eve. And he created Adam from the dust of the ground and he breathed into him a life-giving spirit. A mouth-to-mouth intimacy from the beginning was the design for God and humanity. I want relationship with you. Now that relationship was broken because of sin, but now in Christ it's restored. And he's inviting us into relationship. What I love about this is which is astounding to me about this passage. They worshiped him and some doubted. Isn't that amazing? I just saw Jesus die and rise from the dead. And I'm worshiping him, and some doubted. Now, he didn't say, now, all you doubters, get out of here. Because it's relationship. I know where you are, son. I know where you are, daughter. And I'm going to invite you into more, even with your doubts. You might be in here this morning and say, Blake, I got some doubts. I got a secret for y'all. I got some doubts too, right? There's some doubts that rise in my heart from time to time. There's some thoughts that come up. It's not so much whether doubts come as what do we do with them. Do we take them to the Father? Because this is relationship. Is it, I heard that doubt. You've been in prayer? The Lord, I heard that doubt. No, he's like, talk to me about that. Can I hear you say your doubt? Sometimes when you see it out loud, when you say it out loud, you're like, that's ridiculous. I just had to hear it in my own ears, you know. But when it hides in the ethereal of the mind, it kind of is easier to believe. But this is relation. It's a relational. So here's what's interesting. Y'all, parents know this. When your kids are younger, you invite them into something. You might say, my daughter, Brielle, hey, I'm going to go cook something in the kitchen. Do you want to join me? Now, I know in that moment, especially when they're really young, I've just created more work for myself. I'm not inviting them in because I'm like, what do I do? I should get this 3-year-old to come help me. You know, surely she will have the answers. See, when God is inviting us to do something that he could do himself, it's not about the task. It's about the relationship. I want to bake with my daughter, not because, what am I going to do? It's because I want to share a moment with her. And I want to develop her, right? Because in doing that, she's gaining confidence. Now I come home, it's already been baked, praise the Lord. I'm like, praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm like, thank you for those cookies and that cake, you know? Because I have invited her in, she's developed, and we've developed. She gets to see a little bit about me. I get to see a little bit about her. It's the relationship. It's interesting here that Jesus doesn't say, go create governments. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go create some governments. Go create some systems to help people. Go plant churches. Go build buildings. Go feed the poor. Now, every one of those things is important. But that's not the thrust of what he asked. You want to know why? Because he wanted a relationship with his creation. Because relational people who walk with God, when they create government, they'll do it for his glory, not theirs. When they create systems, it'll be about serving others, not themselves. Because here's the thing, when we have a relationship with God, when God's inviting you into something, it's not just about you knowing him. It is that, but it's now to participate with him to push forward God's kingdom in the earth, to be a part of it with God. It's a relationship he's inviting us into, because if he had, and Al did a great job this morning, if he's got your heart, man, he's got your money. He's got your actions. He's got your marriage. Now, it might not look like that. The new administration is here, but it might take some time to work that out. And that's the invitation this morning. It's a relational. So when you hear this passage and you go make disciples, you got to understand he's not talking to the crowds. He's talking to the few. I mean, you guys know me. You know what I've said. You've seen me. Now go take this relationship and see if you can't export it into someone else's life. See if you can't show them what's going on. Now, finally, and I'm going to spend some time on this morning. God's missional design. So there's a new dispensation, right? And at the heart of it is God's desire to walk with humanity. Now, what's his design? God's missional design is disciples of Jesus. Y'all may know this, and we've talked about this before, but did y'all know the word Christian is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible? And I think 2 of those times, it's kind of like a byword, like you Christians, you little Christs. It's kind of a cut down. The word disciple is actually used 269 times in the New Testament. 269. What do you think the emphasis is in God's economy? It's disciple. Now, what is a disciple? Now, Jesus didn't invent this word. He didn't say, go make disciples. And like, oh, yeah, Jesus created this. This was already kind of a thing going on. And what a disciple was a student of a rabbi. Some of our contemporary kind of voices in the church today say maybe the best word that we have for that today is an apprentice. So when we think disciple, we might think student, and you're right, but we kind of limit student to classroom, right? Come be a student in the class. But this is a student in life. And a common term at the time was, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. That was kind of, you're so close to the rabbi when he walked around that when he kicked up dust, it would get on you. So it was more about being with Jesus, right? I'm a student of Jesus, not because I'm writing everything he's saying, because I'm watching him. I'm eating with him. I'm being with him. The invitation to be a disciple is to be an apprentice of Jesus. Now, and I want to talk about that because I think sometimes, especially in a place like America where there's a lot of Christianity around, we might forget to go back to the source, the scriptures, and see what was Jesus' intent. Because if we're not careful, we might look from a distance. I might just say, hey, to be a Christian means to gather in a building, to associate with a name, and then basically kind of live my life the other 6 days of the week like I want. But to be a disciple was to be with Jesus every day. It was an invitation to walk with Jesus, watch what he was doing, and then participate in it relationally. Now, it says here in our passage that the 11 disciples were there on the mountain, and he said, go make disciples. Now, there was kind of categories in the Gospels of people. One of those categories was the crowd. They said that a lot, the crowd. The crowd followed Jesus. You know, they liked being around Jesus basically because they got free meals. Like, it was nice to be in the crowd with Jesus. You got free meals. He was healing folks. I don't know if you've ever been around where people are getting healed. Like, you want to be there. It's like, I just saw that woman. She was like this. And then when she walked out, she walked like this. I'm like, that was pretty amazing. Like, I want to be around when stuff's happening. And so the crowds were there. There was excitement. So there was crowds. Then there was disciples. And then there were opponents, right? And I think maybe by implication, they were the ignorant and the disinterested, right? Those were there as well. Now, the point in this is that we got here to the end of this, of Matthew. At the beginning, Jesus said this, hey, come follow me. He found some guys. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Come be a part of what I'm doing. And he was inviting them into like a committed apprenticeship where they got to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what he was doing. And they would follow him around. Now, if you'll notice in our passage, there's no crowds here. Now, all of us have been a part of a crowd before. All of us have probably been a part of the crowd that follows Jesus. But at some point, we've got to take a step over the line and just being in the crowd and being a disciple. It doesn't say go make Christians. Go make disciples of Jesus. So the invitation here is to be a disciple of Jesus. You know what's interesting? There's no crowds here because when things get hard, crowds go away. In fact, Jesus demonstrated that with his disciples. And there was this time in John 6 where he starts talking, man, if you want to eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you can be my disciple. And all the non-disciples were like, right? Like, I had the meal, that was good, Jesus, but I don't want that kind of meal. You know what I'm saying? And they were out. And he looks at his disciples, are you guys going too? And he goes, I think it was Peter. Peter said, where am I going to go? Like, you have the words. Like, you're saying some things right now I don't understand. In fact, I might not even agree with right now. But what I've seen is enough to know that you're God and I'm not. And I'm going to trust you with what I don't understand. That's the posture of a disciple versus the posture of a crowd. Because the crowd's here for what I can get from God. Now, disciples get things from God, right? But they're there for God too. This is the invitation, is to follow Jesus. The next thing that's interesting about this discipleship kind of apprenticeship is that he had them following him together. I think what speaks most loudly to this is that Jesus' first four disciples, two pairs, are two brothers. He called Peter and Andrew. He called James and John. And I think he did that very specifically because what he wanted to do was create a community that knew how to operate like family. And look, this is going to be my foundation. There's going to be a Nathaniel. There's going to be a Bartholomew. There's going to be a Judas. There's going to be these other disciples, right? But at the core, it's going to be these two sets of brothers. Because brothers know how to stick together. Brothers can hate each other and still show up and eat together. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not happy with you right now. I'm not happy with you. Right? Pass the bread, you know. Like, we're going to be together whether we're mad at each other or not, because there's something more important here, right? And so when Jesus is inviting us to be a disciple, he said, look, I want you to be with me, But I want you to be with me around others who know how to be with me too. Because this is how we grow up. This is how we mature, as iron sharpening iron. Now, iron sharpening iron, like we love that. Yeah, I want to be sharp. Who wants to be sharp? I want to be sharp, Lord. There's friction involved here. There's pain. I don't really know an area of my life that I've grown and not been uncomfortable in that season. I don't like it. I'm a baby when it comes to being uncomfortable. Like, I got a macho exterior, but like at home with the door shut, I'm whining to the Lord. Why, God? You know? Because I don't like it. But it's in these moments that we grow, and we grow best in community. So the invitation to discipleship is to follow and be with Jesus in gospel community. Because what binds us together is not our political opinions. Oh, let's sit over here. Okay. What binds us together is not a unified political opinion. If y'all didn't know this, we all don't agree politically. If you're shocked by that, you haven't been here long. Okay? And what I want to say is good. Because now growth is possible for all of us involved. There's no perfect system. There definitely isn't a perfect politician, praise the Lord. I was talking to a friend recently, just distraught, and I'm like, what did you expect to happen, you know? Jesus was going to ride in on a politician's back? We need God right here in the hearts of people. That's what we need. A move of God, of disciples who were more committed to Jesus and his kingdom than a political party or even a government. Or even a nation. This is where we're getting. Go make disciples of all nations. It doesn't say, go make every nation like your nation. Go make disciples of all nations. Look, I love this country. I do. I think it's special. And it's special in not just right now, but in human history. But also know, it ain't perfect. Go make disciples. Follow Jesus in gospel mission. Now, what did he say? Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I like that, I'll make you. Because throughout the scriptures, we see this thing God's doing. You were this way, and I'm going to make you this way. And to me, that's really why I signed up for this. Jesus, I'm a wreck. Right, I don't know about y'all, maybe y'all were doing great, but when I came to Jesus, I'm a wreck, I need some help. It was the promise that God was going to make me something I wasn't. I mean, I remember I got in a prophetic moment one time, and this ministry is prophesying to me, I just see pure one prophesied over you. I wanted to be like, right? He was speaking something over me that didn't exist at the time. But God was seeing through that. He was calling it out of me. Maybe that doesn't relate. Y'all remember Abraham? God walked up to Abraham. He said, you got kids? No. Your wife? She's barren. All right. You're going to be the father of many nations. That he wasn't that. But he called him that because he was going to make him into it. Hey, Gideon. Y'all remember this? Gideon. Valiant warrior. Because I'm going to make you something you're not. That's the good news of the gospel. You're an enemy of God. I'm going to make you my friend. You know what? You had anything to do with that? Receive it by faith. But you didn't earn it. I'm going to be really good for you, the Lord, and maybe you'll accept me. No, I've accepted you. Now walk with me. You're under a new administration. Come follow Jesus in gospel community, being formed into his image. Now go fish for men. These are the four, these are the 11 disciples. These are the people Jesus has invited in to take part of this mission. And you know what I love about this? They were just as jacked up as you are. Now you might be thinking, not me. I wasn't the 11. They worshiped him and some doubted. And now what's your excuse? You got some doubts? You're a candidate. Well, you don't know how messed up I am. I know how messed up the 12 disciples were. And he invited them into something bigger than themselves. This is the invitation. Now, I want to show you, there's been a dichotomy lately in the body of Christ, and hopefully this will help kind of help us here. But some of these disciples started following Jesus. Maybe not a part of the 12, but there was this guy in John chapter 3 named Nicodemus. He was a religious leader. He was kind of following from a distance, you know. He was like, all right, man, this is crazy. This guy is from God. Like, I can tell, but I can't let people know. So he pulls him aside at night. He said, look, Jesus, I've seen what you're doing. You're from the Lord. Now, what's your message? And Jesus says this, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I'm sorry. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he's like, you want me to get in my mom's womb? She's dead. What now? What do I do? He's like, well, let me say it a different way. Unless a man is born of water, your mother's water broke and then you were born. You were born of water. 90-some% of your body's water. You must be born of water and the Spirit. You've got to be born by the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You must be born again. You must be changed from the inside out. That's the miracle of rebirth. That's the miracle of salvation. God opens your eyes. Now, he was following Jesus. He got this message he didn't really like or understand. But we read at the end of the Gospels, he becomes a disciple of Jesus. He steps over the line. Now, there was this posture of following, but eventually there was belief in the finished work of Christ, and this is the Messiah, this is God, and then he trusted in him, and he was born again. Now, the next chapter, John chapter 4, there's a woman at the well who doesn't know who Jesus is and doesn't really care. But Jesus cared, showed up, answered some questions, prophesied over her. She's like, surely you are the Son of God. Right there, got born again, got this kind of picture of rebirth. And then she runs back to the city, come see a man who showed me everything. She's immediately in the ministry. She's making disciples. Y'all got to see this guy. Now, some of us might follow a while. We might think because we're in the room and we're doing the stuff that we're right with God, but then we realize we can't be right with God by what we do. We've got to trust in what he did, and we've got to receive the salvation as a gift. Some of us, we walk in the room and we're like, I know I can't earn this. We get saved on the spot, and then we start to follow. But the point was never to get to the decision. Y'all see that, right? The point was never to just say, oh, now I'm saved. Let me go back to what I was doing. The point is that we might follow Jesus. You understand? It's an invitation into what he's doing. God has a mission. I don't know if you've read this kind of intuitively in the passage. God has a mission to change the world. Make disciples of all nations. How is that going to happen? Baptizing individuals in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Here's the vision. I'm going to do something inside of you by my Spirit. And then I'm going to invite you into what I'm doing. I'm going to walk with you. And lo, I'll be with you even to the end of the age. It's relational. I'm not going to leave you. Well, how has that happened? Didn't he go to heaven? By the Spirit. We're going to do a whole series on this going up to Pentecost Sunday on the Holy Spirit. But here's what's going on. I'm inviting you into what I'm doing by the Spirit. And now we're going to work out your salvation through your calling. Well, I'm a doctor. What do? Be a doctor for the glory of Jesus. Looking at how you might share the love of God and demonstrate the love of God through your work. Well, I'm a telemarketer. Then do that as if you were Jesus working for your employer, right? Honor your employer. Do your job for the glory of God. And then as God opens doors, as you go, make disciples. So we get to participate with God no matter what you're called. The goal is not a bunch of ministers. I mean, less than 10%. I think if we look back Old Testament, our ministers, that means 90%+ of y'all won't be in ministry. The goal is that you would do your job for the glory of God. And as opportunities arise around you and you pray for, you're going to make disciples as you go. Y'all see that, right? This is the invitation. Now, some of us might start following, then the penny drops, then the revelation comes, and we do it now by faith. And some of us, we just walk by, and Jesus saves us. We might be going to persecute a church on the road to Damascus, and he's like, I'll have that one. Well, I don't get to choose how you come to faith. God does. But the point is that you would walk with your God all your days. Listen to this. This helped me. This is overspeak, so maybe just listen with an intuitive ear here. The enemy doesn't care if you die and go to heaven. I mean, he cares, but what he's really concerned on is that you would be born again, walk with your God, your maker, in this life, because this is his domain. That you might walk with Jesus in this life, bearing fruit for God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Man, he's scared of that. So it's not so much about a destination. Yes, there is a destination with Jesus. We talked about that last week. Now what? That you might walk out in this life every day walking with Jesus. That's what the enemy's scared of. You living for God in your present day. You being a disciple, an apprentice of Jesus. Well, what does that mean for my job? I don't know. Not specifically. I know you got to have a relationship. I know you got to spend time with God. You can't transfer that to someone else if you don't have it. You know what I mean? Now, that doesn't mean you got to have it all. Some of us feel like when I get perfect, I'm going to make disciples. And some doubted. Now, we don't wait till perfection to start pouring out. But we can't give away what we don't have. And what do we have? We have a relationship. We can communicate about that. Jesus invites everyone to answer the call to participate in a relational, life-transforming, history-shaping mission to change the world. Every one of us are invited into that. Transforming lives, transforming the world. That's what Jesus is after. Blake, I need a lot of work. Get in line. And as Jesus is transforming you, share that with the world. And watch what God does. We are this morning in the wake of what Jesus invested in with 11 disciples, men, and a handful of women. We're in the wake of that. We are in this church in Greenville, North Carolina, thousands of miles from Israel, on a Sunday, not a Saturday, because Jesus rose from the dead, and he's given us this opportunity, invited us into a relationship with God that we get to extend to the ends of the earth. We just get to do it from Greenville. Our mission here at GCF Church is reaching a city to change the world by loving God, making disciples, and training leaders. We've seen that happen. And honestly, just by loving God, really, trying to be intentional, making some disciples along the way, and then already God has started rippling to the ends of the earth. I'm like, I don't even know how to do it. I look at Pastor Mike, we're like, how did this happen? By faith, right? It's not sitting around. It didn't just happen. There's some intentionality. But it happened because God's doing something. And when we invite him in and just do what he's doing, he does it. Amen? There's a new dispensation, a relational desire of God to do it with you. He doesn't need us. He really doesn't need us. He's going to do it regardless. Like, he's going to do it. But we get to be a part. That's the fun part. And it's his design to do it by making disciples relationally to the ends of the earth. Some of us, as we close this morning, God's been calling you. We've read the voicemail. A lot of sappy language like, I love you, I've given my life for you, would you please just come, help me transform your life? I'm busy right now. Right? We're busy. Some of us have been hearing God call them into a relationship with God. And we've been kind of stiff-arming him. We come, we're part of the crowd. It's enough, Lord. But God's saying, I haven't come to call crowds. I've come to call individuals to walk with me. And he wants to walk with you. Will you answer that call this morning? Some of you have been walking with Jesus. You love him. That even this passage maybe feels like a little bit of a red card. Like, I haven't been doing good, but here's what's beautiful. He's not here to give red cards. He's here to give red envelopes. Look, you just take the envelope. I want to do it with you. And God's here to maybe shift that perspective this morning. So this isn't a brow-beaten moment. This is an invitation. Be a part of what God's doing. He wants to do it with you. I mean, the fact that he wants to do it with me, it blows my mind. And some of us have been walking with Jesus. Blake, I want the envelope. I want it all. I just need some help in how to do it. Can you show me? Yeah, we can. And that's what we are passionate about doing that. In fact, I do have a QR code up here. If you are wanting to answer the call to discipleship, I don't know what that looks like. You might be new. This might be your first Sunday. You're saying, Blake, I want to know more about how to follow Jesus. You might be a life group leader in this church. You're like, Blake, I want to know what's next for me. How do I grow and develop? Like, I'm doing all I know, but I need some more. Amen. All of us, that's the thing. This is a relational journey, right? Even myself, I have to get development. I want to spend time with God. I need Jesus to break things off of my life and mentalities. And I'm in it, baby. I'm not up here because I'm arrived and one day y'all be like me. No. Let's go after him together. Amen? And so wherever you are in that process, you're saying, Jesus is calling me this morning to take another step. I want you to fill out that QR code and just, hey, we'll contact you. We'll see, hey, what's the next step for you? Because here's what we're passionate about. Not that we pack a room and have lots of services. And I pray we do. But that's not why we're here. We're going to make disciples of Jesus, amen, who changed the world. Well, that takes time. I mean, I've been in this church a while, and Jesus is still working on me, amen? So you might think, man, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know. Me either. But we're doing it with him, and it's going to be fun as we do it. Might be hard, might be painful at times, but he's doing it because he loves us, he's developing us, and we're participating with him in it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for this invitation. Lord, to join you, not just in making a decision, but participating with you in this beautiful journey of discipleship. For some of us in this room, you know that the Lord is inviting you into that first step of baptism. You said, Blake, I know Jesus is the way. I know he's pulling on my heart. I don't even know how to do this, but I know I need to take that next step. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus, the first step in that journey is baptism. The identification in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that you'd make a public declaration that I'm a follower of him. I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. If that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Say, Blake, I need to take that step of baptism. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, raise your hand this morning. Raise it high. Don't be ashamed. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. My encouragement to you this morning is go on the app and sign up. We would love to walk you through that process and stand with you in that public declaration, that life-changing moment. Some of us in here have said, Blake, I've been content with being in the crowd. And I feel like Jesus is asking me to step into that inner circle with him. I don't want to be in the crowd. I want to be a disciple. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to have a moment to respond to the Lord. Amen. 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 All over this room. You can put your hands down. Just right where you are. It doesn't need to be some flowery prayer. Just be honest with the Lord. Lord, I want to follow you with my life. I don't want to just carry your title. I want to be your disciple. My encouragement to you this morning is to fill out that QR code on the screen. I think it's also on the app as well. I want to answer the call of discipleship. We'll help you find your next step. And finally, there's some of us in this room saying, Blake, I love Jesus. I want to serve him. But I want to be a part of helping others follow him. I don't just want to be a disciple. I want to start helping others be disciples. And I've let maybe my own inadequacies, my own shortcomings, my own doubts disqualify me. I want to take that step, and I want to make a commitment this morning to do that. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I pray for you as well. Amen. Amen. All over this room. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. Jesus changed the world forever. With fewer people then just raise their hand in this room. I believe God wants to do something in this church, in this city, that ripples through the nations. But it's not going to be with just attendees. It's going to be with wholehearted followers of Jesus. It's going to be messy. We're going to make some mistakes. We're not going to do it right all the time. That's the beauty of walking with Jesus. Because my Bible shows a lot of men and women making mistakes that Jesus rights the wrong and keeps walking with them. Father, I pray this morning that what you're doing this morning in the hearts of individuals, whether it's for the first time to say, I need to get baptized, or saying, Blake, I want to be a part of making disciples in this city. I want to partner with God on this mission to change the world. wherever they are in the spectrum, Lord, I pray that you would meet them right where they are. Encourage them. In your name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Don't forget, if we can keep that QR code up, don't forget to fill that out. Just help us know when we contact you, best way to have a conversation and help you take your next steps in following Jesus. Next Sunday, Pastor James is going to bring the word. I'm excited about that. And then we're going to start a series leading up to Pentecost Sunday on the Holy Spirit. Help us walk with this God. Amen. Amen. You guys can stand to your feet as we head out this morning. If you're here for Discover GCF and want to know more about our church, we'll be in the cafe right out here in the back of the sanctuary. If you're new here and you have your connection card and want to turn that in to our connection desk in the lobby, we have some amazing people there to answer any questions you have and give you a gift. You guys have an amazing day. If you need prayer, our altar workers will be up here at the front. Or if you have a question, we'll be up here as well to answer any questions or pray for you. You guys have an amazing day. Thank you.